You're listening to episode 8 of the GDPR Guy, Marketing Consent in the GDPR. Welcome to the GDPR Guy, the podcast dedicated to helping your organization comply with the General Data Protection Regulation. I'm your host, Carl Gottlieb, Data Protection Officer and Consulting Director of the data protection solutions provider, Cognition. Each episode, I'll be providing information, insights, and inspiration to help you on your GDPR journey. You'll find show notes and useful resources on the website, thegdprguide.com, as well as details for getting in touch with me directly. In this episode, I'm going to talk about the e-marketing rules under the GDPR and the various options you have for getting compliant. If there's one area where the GDPR is giving people a massive kick up the arse, it's the world of marketing. And there's a lot of reasons for that, but mainly it's that marketers are finally becoming aware of the laws that regulate them and recognising that it's time to get their house in order. So what's going on? Well, the first thing that everyone knows about the GDPR is that it's all about consent, right? Well, no. Consent is in there, but depending on your perspective of the world, its actual relevance will vary massively. So we need to talk about what consent is, where it's going, and what you really need to do your marketing. Let's start with what laws are currently in play right now, as of April 2018, a month before GDPR. For data protection, we have the Data Protection Directive across the EU, and this is implemented as acts of law in each country. In the UK, we have the Data Protection Act of 1998, and that currently regulates data protection for us Brits. But the Data Protection Directive across the EU has a lesser-known sibling, the e-Privacy Directive, which again is implemented separately in each country. In the UK, the e-Privacy Directive is implemented as the Privacy and Electronic Communications Regulations, or PECA for short. PECA works alongside the Data Protection Act to regulate electronic communications, such as websites' use of cookies and cold calling and email marketing. So we have two sets of laws to be complying with now, the Data Protection Act under the Data Protection Directive and PECA. As we know, the EU is replacing the Data Protection Directive with the GDPR, and that's from May 25th, 2018, so about a month away from now. And the EU's plan was to also replace the e-privacy laws at the same time with the new e-privacy regulation. But somewhat frustratingly and unsurprisingly, this new regulation has been massively delayed and doesn't look like it's going to be going live until late 2019 or even 2020. So the upshot of all this for anyone involved in online communications, which is pretty much every marketer and pretty much anyone else, is that we have four sets of rules to be thinking about, and then from May, that drops down to three with the arrival of GDPR. So taking a slight tangent for a second, one of the most fascinating aspects of the GDPR is the wave of publicity that has surrounded it. Now, you could call this hype rather than publicity, but in some circles, such as the marketing industry, it has attracted everyone's attention and exposed widespread bad practice and non-compliance with existing laws. It's amazing to see how many marketers are now learning about laws they should have understood at least a decade ago. So it's easy to look at this negatively and throw shade on marketers for this, but we are where we are, and I'm seeing a massive step change in marketers getting on top of the legal obligations for them, which is great to see. As marketers now learn about GDPR and in turn about existing regulations such as PECA, everyone is spotting the huge gap they need to fill before GDPR arrives. For many, GDPR requires a lawful basis for marketing that they don't currently have. And this usually boils down to two scenarios. Either they have no lawful basis right now, or they have somewhat of a lawful basis right now, but not enough for the GDPR. Now, before we get to those, let's discuss how you can actually send direct marketing legally under these laws. Starting with the data protection laws, so that's the Data Protection Directive and GDPR, they're very similar, in that they say you can send direct marketing using consent or legitimate interest as your lawful basis. Now, one crucial difference is that GDPR arguably requires a much tighter version of consent. Now, I say arguably because it's not as clear-cut as many people think. Under the Data Protection Directive, consent was defined as meaning any freely given specific and informed indication of his wishes by which the data subject signifies his agreement to personal data relating to him being processed. Note that the word unambiguous doesn't appear in that definition. However, under the GDPR, consent is defined as meaning any freely given, specific, informed, and unambiguous indication of the data subject's wishes by which he or she, by a statement or by a clear affirmative action, signifies agreement to the processing of personal data relating to him or her. Now, GDPR here is clearly saying that consent itself must be unambiguous. But, and there is a big but, and I cannot lie, the Data Protection Directive states in Article 7 that consent can only be used lawfully if it is unambiguously given. So whilst it's technically correct to say that the definition of consent did change for the GDPR to become unambiguous, this was already covered by the directive elsewhere, so it's really a moot point. A key difference in wording, however, is the addition of affirmative action. So essentially, for consent to be valid in the GDPR, you have to actively do something to indicate your consent. Silence or inactivity can't be counted as consent. And if we bring PECA back to the table, that says that prior consent can be used for business-to-consumer, or B2C if you want to call it that, email marketing, if it matches up with the current data protection laws. And all this matters because it means that some consent that is valid now, pre-GDPR, will not be valid post-GDPR. But remember I said that consent is not the only choice for direct marketing. Legitimate interest is also on the table too. As with pre-GDPR laws, GDPR creates a general principle of permitting direct marketing if the legitimate interest is shown to be valid, such as there is a reasonable expectation from the recipient that they're going to get this direct marketing, and is essentially fair. At this point, PECA rears its head again and tightens up exactly how legitimate interest can be used in some situations. For email, we have to rely on the commonly known soft opt-in mechanism. So let's take a pause here. Soft opt-in is not consent. You know, I'll repeat that. Soft opt-in is not consent. And it's not a loophole either. It is the explicitly stated technique inside the e-privacy directive of how to lawfully contact certain users with direct marketing under legitimate interest. So the general principle of soft opt-in is that if someone purchases from you, you can auto-enroll them into marketing. But this has some tight restrictions that I'll spell out for you. Now, number one, you have to have obtained the recipient's details in the course of a sale. In the UK, PECA widens this to include negotiations of a sale. So that includes things like adding an item to a basket or asking for a quotation. Secondly, you have to have offered people the opt-out when you first collected their details. Now, note, I did say opt-out here. I didn't say opt-in. Because you're looking to auto-enroll these people by default. You know, the tables have turned. And here you need to give them the ability to opt out of this opting in process. Thirdly, the direct marketing has to be for similar products and services to what they bought. And they have to be from the same company. So that means you can't share soft opt-in enrollment with a sister company in the same group of companies. And you can't send marketing for a finance product when they only bought some groceries from you. The marketing has to be similar to their known relationship with you. And lastly, you have to offer an unsubscribe in all direct marketing that you send them subsequently. Soft opt-in sounds great at first, but there are some major issues, including the lack of engagement you get from people that were auto-enrolled into a marketing list, and also the narrow scope of offerings that you can promote. The Royal Mail is an example of an organisation that is currently using soft opt-in for its marketing, and looks like it will continue to do so for GDPR. Soft opt-in is spelled out in the e-privacy directive in Article 13 and in PECA Section 22. But with the replacement on its way, the e-privacy regulation, eyes are turning to what that is saying about soft opt-in. Fortunately, it doesn't look like much is going to change. There have been a lot of drafts of the e-privacy regulation so far with very many changes, but the soft opt-in section keeps remaining almost unscathed. In one draft, charities were included in the rule, but that was subsequently removed and the rule reverted back to only applying to commercial organisations. Article 16 of the e-privacy regulation details the soft opt-in rule, currently looking almost identical to the current e-privacy directive, so it's looking like the soft opt-in isn't going anywhere. However, since this is an EU regulation and not a directive, it will likely apply verbatim to every country, including the UK. And crucially, this means that the current UK PECA tweak of permitting negotiations of a sale, rather than the EU default of only purchases, will likely disappear. Now, this could have serious consequences for marketers relying on using soft opt-in for abandoned basket notification emails. But the new regulation is at least a year away, with many more changes expected, so we'll best park that possibility for now. Okay, let's get back to those two scenarios I mentioned that many marketers are finding themselves inside. Firstly, over the years, many organizations have been building up marketing lists based on dodgy third-party data, probably acquired down a car boot sale from Honest John's lead company, or through their own badly managed channels, such as a web form asking for an email address for a newsletter and no other information provided. The UK pub chain JD Wetherspoons fell into this situation in 2017, where they had a very large email newsletter subscriber list, but recognised that they had no current lawful basis to process it. They hadn't captured valid consent due to the wording they'd used on the website, for instance, not stating that the newsletter could contain marketing or referencing a privacy policy. So they had to stop using that list for marketing. But even worse, because they couldn't email their subscribers about marketing, they couldn't even email them to ask for consent for marketing, because that in itself would be marketing. Honda got fined by the ICO for exactly this, asking for permission for marketing to people they had no current permission to market to. So Wetherspoons were pretty stuck here. They had a massive list of email addresses that they couldn't use for anything, especially marketing. In turn, they had no legal basis to even keep the data, and so they did the only thing they could, and emailed all 650,000 subscribers advising they were deleting the whole database. You know, I'm sure a few marketing people were drowning their sorrows in Wetherspoons that day. Now, the summary here is that if you don't have a lawful basis to send direct marketing to people now, pre-GDPR, then you can't legally send a re-permissioning email asking for consent for the GDPR. Now, the second scenario that marketers are in right now is quite common, and that's where organisations have got some permission to market now, but it doesn't meet the requirements of the GDPR. Now, this often happens where people have gained consent in a form that involved a pre-ticked tick box or an opt-out tick box, alongside a good explanation of what they were being signed up to. The GDPR requires affirmative consent, remember, and so any existing subscribers that were signed up in this fashion would be classed as not consented under the GDPR. So the existing consent needs to be upgraded to GDPR level consent. And this re-permissioning upgrade is perfectly lawful to send out by email because you have current consent, but not for long. And many marketers are discovering that sending out emails asking for consent doesn't really have a very high success rate. You know, these re-permissioning emails just aren't working very well. And after about 3 emails asking for consent, I'm seeing success rates of about 10% re-opt-ins, which is pretty terrible. So to recap, re-permissioning emails are perfectly legal pre-GDPR if the sender has got currently lawful permission to send direct marketing. Now, we all know that some will be doing a Honda and sending re-permissioning emails unlawfully, whether that be by mistake or deliberately in the hope of not getting caught. I fully expect to see some complaints being investigated by the ICO after the dust has settled of all of these email campaigns. Now, jumping back to soft opt-in for a minute, GDPR doesn't really change anything here since it's not based on consent. So if you have valid soft opt-in right now, you're probably perfectly fine to carry on with soft opt-in post-GDPR. You don't necessarily need to ask for consent from anyone since you're relying on legitimate interest. However, you may take the view that moving to consent is a good idea for your business since it creates a better user engagement. But remember, re-permissioning emails themselves are notoriously ineffective, so an in-app or website-based re-permissioning campaign may be a better move. So where does that leave you? Well, firstly, you need to check if your marketing lists comply with the GDPR, whether that be for the consent rules, valid legitimate interest, or having a solid audit trail of how you got that permission in the first place. If you've got gaps, which many will, find out the value of those gaps. All marketing lists have different cohorts of value, such as highly engaged users that open every email and are repeat buyers, to those that will never come back and put your marketing emails straight into the spam folder. Assess which users are worth keeping and in turn what budget you have if you need to re-permission them. It sounds crazy, but phoning people or posting letters to them may be a viable and cost-effective method to get people onto your subscriber list. It all depends how much they're worth. Now, secondly, execute your strategy quickly and boldly. You know, time is running out. We've got about a month left. And for many of you listening to this in June, that time has already gone. If it's now past May 25th and you're wondering what to do with these lost email subscribers, well, the very first thing to do is unsubscribe them from any direct marketing and then look at a plan B. Maybe that's phoning them, maybe it's advertising on billboards, or maybe it's a case of waiting for them to return to your website and then forcing a consent question upon them. All of this may sound pretty painful, and for many, it is a bitter pill to swallow. The world of marketing has been obsessed with its own metrics and size of subscriber lists for far too long, only seeing the top of the marketing funnel and losing sight of how many engaged users were converting into transacting customers. That's the real objective here, turning all of this into sales. Now, those marketers that have moved from a large subscriber, low-value database to a small subscriber, high-conversion database are generally pretty pleased with the end result. You know, sales are better and the marketing communications can be much more focused. And speaking as a data protection officer and not a marketer, having much less data to watch over is no bad thing. You can read more about the GDPR and find show notes for this episode at thegdprguide.com. And don't forget, if you'd like any direct assistance with your GDPR compliance, then please get in touch. I'll be happy to help. I've been your host, Carl Gottlieb, and I am the GDPR guy. Thanks for listening.